All right, so now I've got my package of tomato, pepper, peas, beans, and lettuce, self-pollinators.
Right.
And we're joined at the Great American Seed Up with Mr. Greg Peterson of the Urban Farm, Mr. McDorman of the Seedmaster, Propagator, Wizard.
I'm actually the executive director of the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance.
Okay.
And we are set up to educate as many people as possible and inspire them to save their own seeds on the whole spine of the Rockies, all the way down into Arizona and New Mexico.
And we are broadcasting all the way up to Flagstaff Saturday morning. We've got Prescott listening in Sedona.
Nice.
So you specialize in seeds for high altitude. So this event absolutely applies to them.
Right, but also fringe climates like the deserts. The Mountain West has some of the driest, coldest, hottest places on the planet. And so that's what, you know, we want every, and that's the key to overcoming that is every time you save your own seeds, they begin to adapt themselves to where they are. So
that's the beauty of saving seeds.
What an incredible technology. And you can hold it in your hand.
I have parsley that has been growing for at least a decade at the Urban Farm. And it's an annual, so it comes back every year. So it goes to seed every year, and I just spread the seeds in the yard. And I have a forest of parsley, and it's every year it gets better at growing in my space.
And Kari Spencer of the Micro Project is with us.
The Micro Farm Project.
Micro Farm, sorry.
Oh, and I have some really. I'm going to call Kari out on something.
Oh,
some really exciting news.
Oh, okay.
She's written a book.
Oh.
That is coming out in November called
City Farming: City A How-To Farming. Guide to Growing Crops and Raising Livestock in Urban Spaces.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So
coming out in November.
Yeah.
Yes,
all
in
right.
November.
How many pages?
350 some.
It's a textbook. Yeah. Like
we get a signed copy.
Certainly.
Dang straight, we're getting signed copies.
So I've got my five varieties.
Uh-huh.
What do I do now? How do I start it?
Well, there's basically two ways to start seeds. You know, on your list, you've got beans. With a bean, I would just direct sow that, meaning I would just throw it in the ground.
Well, all right, don't throw it in the ground. But for beans, for the bigger ones, I'll take my finger and I'll poke a hole in the ground in your healthy soil and go down about 2.5 inches and cover it up.
Yeah, right
now,
in the soil, right?
Do
in the
you
garden.
Or do you Tom Sawyer somebody into doing it?
No, I do it.
You do it? Okay.
Yeah. And
I heard about the trench that had to get done that some intern was digging.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I have volunteers that come and help at the Urban Farm, but I do a lot of it. I've been growing food here for 42 years. So
wow.
Yeah.
So
beans.
2 inches on the beans.
Yeah, so I'd put a bean a couple inches down in the ground directly in the soil. They grow fast.
One bean per hole?
One or two beans per hole. You know, if you're using seed here, it's going to you're going to have real good germination rates. But if you bought them and you're not really sure about the germination rate, then you might want to put two beans in a hole just to make sure. And then you just cover them up, water them, keep them moist until the seeds sprout, and you grow bean right there.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. But if you want to grow something like a tomato here in Arizona, tomato seeds need a very specific temperature to germinate, and it's too cold when we need to start them in the wintertime to just put them in the ground and grow them. So generally, we start tomato seeds indoors around Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and Christmas sometime. So with that, you want to start with sterile seed trays and some sterile seed starting mix and plant your seeds in that mix inside. Make sure that it gets 6 to 8 hours of light. So make sure it's in a really sunny window. Keep it warm and keep it moist, and those seeds will sprout, and you can grow them up to be big enough to put out in the garden sometime in February or early March. So there's, those two ways, directly in the ground, or you can start them in seed trays indoors.
So we have a bed at the Urban Farm that we planted out this week, and we planted beets and carrots and broccoli and cauliflower kale and Swiss chard, all from seed. And so here's one of my favorite gardening hacks. You get your garden prepared, you get your watering system in, whatever that's going to be, and you plant out your seeds, and then you put a bed sheet on top of it.
Put it to bed.
And you put it to there. You, there you go. I've never thought of it that way.
Do you sing to it?
Yeah. But you put a bed sheet over it.
Lullaby.
Put some rocks on the corners of the bed sheet and water the bed sheet. The bed sheet acts as a top mulch. It acts as a barrier against any bugs or birds that are going to dig these up. and you water them that way for a couple of weeks, and the seeds themselves won't go through the sheet, but they'll kind of pop up the sheet. So you'll know after a couple of weeks when you've got all kinds of little pokies, you know, pushing the bed sheet up, that it's time to take it off. That's a great way to start it.
Right. And once your seedlings are a couple inches tall, the birds aren't as interested in them
exactly
as they are when they're seeds or when they're just tiny little sprouts.
Yeah.
So that's a great tip, Greg.
Yeah.
Now, have y'all seen the, I think they call them olas?
Ollas.
Ollas. The clay pots filled with water, and you stick it in the ground, and the water just wicks through.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen those for seeds.
Wow.
Like a seed starter olla? Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool. So the way they work, because they're made out of clay, you put water in them, and it kind of drip irrigates your garden over a 24, 48, 72-hour period of time. Great technology, and it's actually an ancient technology that we didn't invent.
Didn't the Hohokam live here on all the major boulevards and use all the canals that were spaces that we're using now, that Phoenix really is a Phoenix? it came up out of the ashes of another. Yeah.
So, and the other cool thing about growing food in Arizona in the low desert is we can grow all year round. And I have a planting calendar that I've been giving away online for a couple of decades at plantingcalendar.org. This tells you what to plant when. And right now is a great time for
garlic. I'm looking at that because that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But greens.
Oh.
Right now we can get started growing some greens. So if you want lettuces and kale and other types of greens, this is the time to go ahead and get them planted.
Exactly.
Broccoli, cauliflower.
Swishard.
The mustard greens.
Mustard greens. Snow peas. It's a great time for snow peas. If you plant snow peas now, and we have two different varieties here at the Great American Seed Up.
Right.
But if you plant them now, by January, you'll be eating these ripe, luscious snow peas off of your, snow pea plants. So then I like to call it four growing seasons. So one's now. The next one is back in January when you can replant the greens and, that kind of stuff. And then after our last frost, you can plant tomatoes.
Yeah, tomatoes, squashes.
Peppers, okra, eggplant, those kinds of things.
And our last frost is usually somewhere around Valentine's Day.
Yep. Yeah, and then the other cool thing is that you can replant a lot of that again at the beginning of summer, right? Right before the monsoons come. Corn like summer.
Do people really grow okra here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I have some in my yard right now.
I never understood okra. there's always something, right?
Yeah. I never understood it either, but it grows practically like a weed here.
Wow.
For a few years, I had it.
Right in the heat. I usually plant mine starting in July.
Yep.
And we'll have them through November. Mm-hmm. I mean, they get honking, and you can make cornichon and ferment it with
pickles.
We've got carrots. Onion. Yeah, it's an old Cajun recipe.
Like a pickled vegetable mix?
You just pick it out and eat it and munch on it. Okra is best fried or fermented. It's not a raw. A lot of people put it in gumbo, but I don't like okra in my gumbo, which actually gumbo means okra.
There you go.
And it makes pretty flowers, too, if you let them
go. It makes gorgeous flowers, that's for sure. So one of the things I always like to...
And
go ahead.
It's one of those that you feel like a successful gardener.
If you can grow it, there you go. There you go.
That's really important.
You got to have
an
easy win.
that's one of the things I noticed over the years when I had my small seed company and I talked to gardeners all over the country. This was before the internet, so if people had a beef, they would call you, right? Is that most American gardeners are still really uptight. They're afraid something's going wrong, Oh my God, planted too late, or now I've got too much zucchini or whatever, and everything in between. And it was like I found myself almost as a psychologist week after week going, calm down, it's okay, take a deep breath. You're going to be happy in your garden. And so if okra makes you happy in your garden, yes,
go for it.
I'm into it.
Right. Well, I don't get this so much these days anymore because I think people have smartened up to it. But 10 years ago, people would ask me what they should grow.
What do you like to eat?
Yeah. It's like, what do you like to eat? Don't plant something you don't love.
Right. And that's the same for seed saving. Pick one thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you picked one thing like James L. Reed did in the 1840s Northern Illinois, he had a corn he liked, his yellow dent corn, and it made flour, and it was his family sort of heirloom. And didn't work when he first got up to Northern Illinois. Corn doesn't like to go north, but he combined it with stuff there that did. And for 40 years, his family just saved the seeds from the ones they liked. And in 1890, they won the Illinois State Fair. The next year, they won the World's Fair, Best Corn. And Reed's yellow dent corn went on to be the best-selling open-pollinated flower corn in the world in the 20th century. And that's just one family saving what they liked. Every gardener in Phoenix can do that. You can change the world forever if you find the thing you love and you just keep saving it and adapting it to where there is, wherever you are. And we don't have that anymore. And that's what we need to bring as a foundation back into our local food agriculture.
Mm-hmm. And what's the plant? It's like when you're talking about combining and making your own, they have a plant that they sell. I think they call it ketchup and fries because it's a potato and a tomato.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Ketchup. Well, you know, they're in the same genera. Right. Yeah, you can play with all sorts of stuff. We've just gotten started. You know, Luther Burbank, you know, probably it was like he was on drugs. You know, because he just kept discovering new, unbelievable, unthinkable combinations of things. And that's what we have as an opportunity for ourselves. Yeah. So there's no reason, you don't need to watch television, you don't need to go anywhere. All that excitement and creativity can happen right
in your garden,
right in your own backyard. Yeah. And that's what we need to reclaim.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, broadcasting live at the Great American Seed Up. Opens at 10 o'clock.
Opens at 10 o'clock today. We'll be here from 10 until 2. We've got classes at 11, 12, and 1.
And those three classes, again, are?
Seed saving, growing from seed, and seed
storing. We'll talk about the fineries. We'll even talk about Dr. Bugby, Utah State University, who got the contract from NASA to study seed storage on a trip to Mars. How are we going to store it? What's the best way to store seeds if we're going to have to grow food on Mars once we get there? And every scenario for humankind going to Mars involves growing food once we get there. Yeah. Otherwise, we just can't afford to do it. And so, yeah, we'll talk about that. We've got up-to-date information on how to store your seeds.
All right, here at the North Phoenix Baptist Church. Did I get that right this time? On Central Avenue.
Central and Bethany Home, 5757 North Central, greatamericanseedup.org.
Come around to the east side, Building B. Mm-hmm. And you can stop at the farmer's market that's open now on your way in.
Yeah, come and check out the farmer's market, too. It's an epic farmer's market. And we'll have there'll be signs of directing you to the building and everything.
Final segment of our Outdoor Living Hour with urban farmer Greg Peterson right after this.